Welcome to this presentation from the Downey Seventh-day Adventist Church. We are located in the greater Los Angeles area at 9820 Lakewood Boulevard in Downey, California. We would love to have you worship with us any Saturday you are in our area.
I need batteries, or can you? Oh, we're good now. How many of you tend to use your phone as a flashlight? How many of you use it at least once a week as a flashlight? How many of you use it maybe every other day? How many of you use it multiple times a day? Just kidding. Now, Paul David Tripp, he writes in Do You Believe, you know, as a sinner living with other sinners in a fallen world, you encounter darkness every day. Well, you may
experience Instagram-worthy sunny days, but the reality is that life is more within that clock, through the words, on any given day, you probably encounter more darkness than you do with the truth. So to move forward without danger, to get to know where you're meant to go, you need something light and red. Now, the very famous passage that many of us have probably written, or maybe even sung, is Solomon that you have heard as a airplane.
We will get through this. All right. So your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Father in heaven, as we look to the book of John, as we take a gander, Lord, as the word, you are the light and the sun. Be with us in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's go to the book of John, chapter 1. And here are some verses that we're going to be, hopefully, we'll try and see if we can get to all of them. But here are some verses to look at, okay? In the beginning was the word, ein arche ha lagos. My Greek did actually mean something. And the word was with God, and the word was God. Very powerful statements. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Can you hear me? Through all things, through him, all things were made, and without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has what? Not overcome it. I love this passage because there's a couple of statements that John is making here. Number one, the word has always been from the very beginning. And if you're kind of wondering, well, who is this word? It's Jesus. Jesus has always been from the very beginning. But you also see that and the word was with God, signifying that Jesus is both equal and but also distinct. And the word was God. Jesus is God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Nothing without him, nothing was made that has been made. Everything was made through Jesus. And in him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. In Jesus, there is life. Amen? Who is this word? Jesus. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Jesus is also light. But before we get to the light portion, why does John use the term word? Now, if John were to say in this context, because remember, John's gospel is probably written a little later than probably all of them. And his demographic, he's writing to his second and third generation believers. The people that he's writing to had never shaken Jesus' hand, never given him a hug, never seen him. They've heard wonderful, beautiful stories passed down from their parents, their friends, their uncles, their aunts, their grandparents, family friends, but never had actually been able to shake Jesus' hand and hear for themselves. He was also writing to a Jewish group and maybe also some Gentile or Greek believers. If John were to say Jesus is the Messiah, the Greeks would have just gone over their head. What is John talking about? And yet if he were also to say Jesus the Son of Man, which Matthew does, it would have only drawn the Jewish believers. Context plays a huge part in understanding. So John uses a word that both the Greeks and the Jews would understand. Now, in the old, there is, believe it or not, a Greek version of the Old Testament. Anybody know what the name of it is? It's the Septuagint, okay? It's the Old Testament written in Greek. And if you look at Psalm 33, verses 6 and 9, it actually says that by the word of the Lord, okay? By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and he spoke, and it came to be. Now, the word of the Lord in this passage, you should take it literally as something that is powerful. It's creating not only expression of God's speech, not necessarily a person who assists, but that God, it is Jesus who created the earth. Now, not everything in the Old Testament necessarily translates to, the, quote, the word, but we also look at the Greek philosopher Plato. You heard of this guy? Okay, so Plato, he had a very lofty view of God, but when it came to reality, he was a little bit more pessimistic. But in his eyes, God is super great, is pure, and yet his mind matters. Sorry, he also wondered, how could God dirty his hands in the process of also creating all of this world? Now, Plato's, quote, word, his version of the word, was also enough to communicate with God as an equal, yet humble enough to get involved in the messiness of material things. It's a play on the word that it's the go-between, between God and here, God's creation. A well-known writer also writes in The Desire of Ages that the spirit of inspiration may have also imparted on some of these Gentile thinkers. At the same time that Jesus was also walking the earth, there was a Jewish philosopher who at the same time also said that the word, and when he writes of the word, says the word is like a high priest in the heavenly sanctuary, an intercessor with God, the law, the giver of the mediator, the creation, the revelation, the sustainer of the universe, the God of the Old Testament. Does that sound familiar? He was the image of God and the second Adam. Now, some of this I have to give credit to John Pauline as well because I got that information. Now, why does all of this matter? In Acts chapter 17, we find Paul who goes to Athens. And in Athens, he talks to all of the philosophers there. And they have all kinds of, quote, gods. They were very polytheistic. They had different gods for food, for weather, whatever, you name it. And then they left one space, though, for the unknown God. And Paul capitalizes that. And as he listens to them, he tries to hear, what are they trying to say? He then shares, this unknown God that you're talking about is the God that I serve. And he was able to share with the believers, or the philosophers, and some of them became believers because he listened to them. What is Paul trying to share here? Jesus as the word, the logos. I think the lesson that John is trying to share is actually a lesson for us, and that if we're going to be able to share Jesus with others, should we not take time to learn about who we're going to share this message with? Because Paul doesn't just write, well, the word, blah, 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 blah. He was very intentional. He was trying to reach to the Greek believers and also the Jewish believers. Both of them have similar ideas, and he ties them together with this literal word. Jesus is the word. Now, until we develop a relationship with others, are they going to want to listen to us? No. We have to get to know those who we want to share Jesus with. Now, you could have a conversation with somebody, complete random stranger. But if they're just a stranger and they don't get to know you, that's just one conversation. If you want to have people bring Jesus into their lives, it takes time. It takes growth. It takes relationships. Now, big picture, when you think of the word, okay, after reading, from the very beginning, God existed. God, Jesus, has existed from the very beginning of time. Jesus is equal and distinct with God. Jesus refers to his deity. The word refers to his deity. Jesus makes everything, and Jesus is life. Let's continue on reading in verse 6, John 1, verse 6. It says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. And who was John? How was he related to Jesus? It was his cousin. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might what? Believe. And this is a very important word. I've mentioned this several times when we studied the book of John. Believe is a very important theme in the book of John. He himself wasn't the light. He came only as a witness to the light. So he was not the Messiah. Some of them wondered, are you the Messiah? Are you the one to come? Are you a prophet? Now, and in verse 9, it says, the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world didn't what? Did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of a human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. Can you imagine, for instance, being a parent, you've gone on a journey and you come back home and your kids don't even recognize you? Cuts you to the heart, right? Or a loved one, maybe they don't recognize you and you gotta say, hey, my name is Chris, don't you recognize me? And then all of a sudden it's like, oh my gosh! They rejoice. But in this case, remember, Jesus is the creator, right? He had a part in creation. When he comes, when he becomes a man, and he's with his own people, if you read the rest of the gospel story, how did they treat Jesus? With love or with contempt? With anger? With hate? And not everybody is ready to hear the word. Not everyone is ready to hear the word. In John 8, verse 12, later on, Jesus was speaking to the people, and he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So Jesus expounds on this, as it says in the prologue here. Okay, this is a huge prologue to the whole Gospel of John. Jesus then repeats and says, I am the light of the world. And the people that he's with, some of them, they're thinking, yeah, you are the light of the world. You're sharing so many wonderful things. You're changing my life. And then the people who maybe perhaps felt threatened, all of a sudden they realize, how can you say that? Because in their eyes, he's equating himself to being God. And we're all kind of thinking, well, duh. But to them, that was a threat in their eyes. They didn't appreciate. They thought this was blasphemy. How could this man, I mean, yeah, he's Joseph and Mary's son, but is he really God? They were skeptical. Now, sometimes people also, when we try to share Jesus with others, people reject you because of the light. What does light do? It shines. It reveals. Have you ever maybe walked into a room and you flip the lights and all of a sudden there were bugs everywhere? And what do? They scatter. All right, how many movies have you ever watched where you just turn the lights on and all the cockroaches want to run out and flee. I'm not specifically naming any specific movies, but you know what I'm talking. Oh, snakes. I don't like snakes. But light reveals. Light is good because it helps to provide a path to be able to see, to know where to go, to avoid the rocks, to avoid the potholes when you're driving, right? How many of you love a surprise pothole? None of us, right? Or maybe you're walking in the dark in the mountains and you don't have your light, but you think you know the trail so well, and yet you hit your head on a branch that you forgot about, right? Light is important. Light helps us to see. It's a revealer of things to move forward. But yet light also, when trained and turned on us, do we want the light to be shed on us? No. Because why? Our insecurities, the things that, of our past, things that we don't want people to be to know about us, we run from that. And so not everybody wants to hear the light because it sheds things about ourselves that we would rather either nobody, we would not want anybody to know, or we have to confront. And so, what a day I'm having today. All right, it's not going to move. Frederick Buchner writes, being afraid of the light. If there is a terror about darkness because we cannot see it, there is also a terror about light because we can see. There is a terror about light because much of what we see in the light about ourselves and our world, we would rather not see. We would rather not have be seen. Let's continue on in John chapter 1, verse 14. The word became what? You know of another God who is maybe in heaven or whatever, but then all of a sudden becomes a person and lives among God's people? We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified concerning him. He cried out, saying, "This is the one I spoke about when I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.'" There is essentially one that he's going to say later on in John, that he is the greater light. Out of verse 16, out of his fullness we have received grace in place of grace already given. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known. And I love this. Just as we've already studied before with Moses and the patriarchs, Jesus is personable and can relate to us. Okay? So Jesus, even though he's divine, and I'm never going to probably fully understand this, you know, my brain can only comprehend so much. Jesus was fully divine and yet in human form. People could see Jesus. They could see Jesus eat food. They could see Jesus sleep. They could see Jesus walk on water. But Jesus met the people where they were at. He could identify with us and our emotions. I've talked about this earlier. Did Jesus ever get mad? Did Jesus ever get sad? Did Jesus ever get dehydrated? Did Jesus ever probably get hungry? All of these emotions affect us. Jesus is able to relate. But he's also able to relate to when he sees something that is wrong and he stands up for somebody. The word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. I take heart that Jesus, who could have stayed in heaven, comes down to earth to be with us. Is this world a great place? No, it's broken. There are many angry people. There are many sad people. There are some happy people. But it's filled with pain, chaos, hurt. We also see, too, that Jesus supersedes Moses and John. Because Moses was important. He was, the Jewish community could look back to Moses and say, hey, Moses helped our people come out of Egypt, or Abraham, the patriarchs, right? But now, Jesus is superseding Moses, the patriarchs, and John. Now, a faithful believer in Jesus faithfully follows Jesus with everything. John is implying that Jesus, the Messiah, is the one we are to follow. John Pauline also writes, Jesus is the greatest revelation of God's character that the world has ever seen. If you go to Hebrews 1, verses 1 through 2, actually, let's go there real quick. Hebrews 1, verses 1 through 2. We have time. We have a little time. Hebrews 1, verses 1 through 2. We all there? In the past, God spoke to who? Our ancestors, through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. So God spoke through the prophets to various people, through the writers. They wrote down and recorded the history. And yet now Jesus is God personified. Jesus reflects all of God's attributes. His love, his grace, compassion, ability to listen are all reflected in Jesus' life. If you truly want to get to know God, study Jesus. Know Jesus. If you want to change the world, be like Jesus. You're not people's personal savior, but you can make a difference in their lives by following what Jesus shared. Reflect on and apply the lessons that Jesus shared with the disciples and in turn have been passed down to us. What is your purpose in life? Do you want to change the world? Do you want to change others or influence others? Listen, care for them, love them. Ultimately, serve God faithfully, and others will know. They may not be ready at the time. And also, perhaps, maybe even, we should be mindful how we share Jesus with others. So, on my phone, and if I go to the Light app, I can decide how powerful I want it to be. Right now, it's on the very bare minimum because last night, I went in to get something in our bedroom, and I did not want to wake Lisa up. So I brought it to minimum. I can also choose to make it much brighter. Now, how we share Jesus with others, we should also, just like John, he was mindful of the audience that he was sharing and trying to persuade. Perhaps as we share Jesus with others, we should be mindful. Are they ready to hear what you're about to say? Should you do it softly, or are there times where sometimes you need to be firm? If your friend is driving down the road and it's headed towards the cliff, are you going to say anything? Hopefully, right? Hey, you're going to drive off the road. You're going to die. Or are you just going to say nothing? No, we're going to say something. And sometimes it maybe needs to be a little firmer, especially as it gets closer. But sometimes when we're trying to share Jesus with others, sometimes it's a softer touch, a softer message, a softer light. And then as you grow in relationship, then you can hit them with the full message when they are ready. Now, I take hope in the fact that, especially in verse 16, Jesus has redeemed us. I love this. Out of his fullness, we have all received grace in place of grace already given. Amen. So, we are not left alone to our own devices. God has not abandoned us. So, reflection. Have you met Jesus? And where do you need light in your life? Where do you need God's light to shed in your life so that you can see the path? And also, maybe reveal some things that maybe we need to look at and change. This week, for your challenge, I want you to write a prayer. I want you to reread John 1:1-18 again. And I want you to write a prayer, or if you don't want to write, type, or voice record, whatever. I want you to record how it makes you feel about Jesus. Can you do that? All right. Reflect and write down your thoughts. Record your thoughts on how you feel about Jesus. May God bless you. May you go forth with strength and courage that the Word, who was from the very beginning, is in your corner, who sheds light on the path and also in your life, and is also the same one who is the Son who has redeemed you because Jesus loves you. Father in heaven, thank you, Lord, for you are good and your mercy endures forever. Forgive us, Lord, of any of our shortcomings, Lord, and we thank you for all that you're doing in our lives, even the challenging times. Lord, be with the things that are on our hearts and our minds. It is truly our desire to be faithful and true to you, to be a faithful servant. Help us to trust you and to be guided by you. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. Grace and peace, everyone.